Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. This is episode number 45 and I'm your host, Brock Cannon. Welcome to the show, you guys. This week's guest is very special to me, as really all my guests are quite special to me, but this is my mentor when it comes to anything regarding breath work. Javier Gutierrez is a fellow brother, Wim Hof Method instructor, but beyond that, he's certified in three major breathwork modalities. And so whenever I have any questions about how to breathe more efficiently, how to increase my performance as an athlete, how to de-stress better, how to help my anxiety, or any matter of troubles, I consult Javi. Javi is originally from Spain. You'll hear his wonderfully charming accent on this episode, and he's just a passionate human being. He's passionate about the breath and how it can heal people. He runs the very successful chic and trendy studio in Miami called Breath Tribe, where each week he gathers different locals and helps them to access the power of their breath and to change their life through this modality that is often overseen. Javi believes that truly almost every problem we have in the physical body and regarding our mental health can be healed through the breath. We just have to learn how to tap into that. We cover a lot on this episode, so bear with us. And we do have just a small glitch in the middle where we lost our connection, but that's how it goes, you guys. So just stick with us. We do these things live and uncut. So you're in for a real treat this week. And if you have any questions, make sure you follow Javi at the end of the episode and see the show notes. Get ready to learn how to master your breath. And without further ado, Javi Gutierrez, my friends. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Brock Cannon Podcast. I'm so stoked today to be joined by Javier Gutierrez. Javier is a dear brother of mine, a fellow Wim Hof instructor, but a breathwork master. He's the founder of Breath Tribe, located in the Miami, Florida area. And Javier has a hell of a story. I was fortunate enough to ride to the airport in Denver when we were leaving Colorado with him on a very long ride. Yeah. And we just got to know each other a little bit more, and it was really cool. And since that day, I kept thinking, I want to have him on the podcast. I want to have him on the podcast. And so finally, we're making it happen. So Javier, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and join you guys with a little bit of my journey.
Absolutely, man. So tell us, just for our listeners that maybe have not heard of you or met you in person, a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I'm from Spain originally, from Marbella. I moved to the US about 8 years now. It's been a long time. moved to the US with a completely different mindset and experience of life. I moved with my ex-partner and wife at the time. And we started a company of stones, big warehouse, selling. The market in Europe, it was down. It was 2010, 2012 by the time. And Miami was moving. It was moving very, very quick. So we decided to move to the US. It was a big change. I moved out of my country, no family, only my wife. Things are not as good as they should. And we have a baby on the way. Man, this was crazy. lots of stress. It's a new country, new rules, new language, new, like all of the environment is changing. And these new babies coming to the world. I was freaking out. So at that point, the relationship cannot move forward. It's very, very tense in between us. My son was about 2 months approximately when we split. And well, my life changed since then. I made a choice and I made a commitment to let go my stress, anxiety, and depression. At the time, I was depressed. I was abandoned in a lot of things, but not here, not inside of myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that made me make the choice of, I'll do this to try to get to the best self of that I can be, and that way my son can be reflected. And if I become the best version of myself, maybe my ex goes back to what she was, because I still have love and appreciation to her, but my energy and her energy are not anymore connected. They are like universe fighting each other and exploding apart. So since then, I start meditating. I met Alejandra, which is my partner, girlfriend, and a warrior next to me. She got certified yoga. I started taking classes of yoga. My body was beat up by the time. I couldn't even do a downward dog without pain. And after that, the meditation coach told us, hey guys, why don't you come and get an ice bath? And we were like, what? Ice bath? What is that? What are you talking about? Yeah, I do this thing called the Wim Hof method. The Wim Hof method, man. What is that? This guy in Poland is crazy. He gets people in rivers and breathing and stuff. You guys have to try and come and see how you feel. Go online and watch this documentary, Vice. Oh, man. It was very challenging just to watch the documentary. I still think about it and I still get goosebumps, because just watching what those guys were doing at that time, no one will believe it. No one will jump with them in those rivers and lakes and do those breath works. But man, they were safe. All of the fears that I had in my mind, and those guys are doing it, having fun and not getting hurt. What? So my first breath work, my first Wim Hof, wow, it was profound. The breathing took all my stress and anxiety away. I was doing those the breath holds in between rounds, and I didn't want to breathe back. I really did not want to breathe back. So I'm there and I'm holding my breath as much as I can and going into this interspace. The breath work finished, and now I have to challenge my fear. Because during the breath work, your mind goes away, your fear disappears, and you're in this state of magical happiness. But now there's the ice. And this is the challenge. The challenge, because it's not just your body can do it, is that your mind needs to wait for you to do it. My girlfriend Alejandra goes in, and she's there chilling, looking at me with a smile on her face. Oh, man. She dips under. She comes out. What the fuck is my turn? Man. So I get it. And I don't know how long it took me, but 20 seconds in, I look at the coach and he's like, how long is it? I was shaking. I was very freaking out. But I let go. I let go of the fact that, I have to stay 2 minutes. And when I finished, I still had that fear in my body, like, get out of here, get out of here. I got out. And you have this new feeling of, bro, why did you go out? You're safe. Don't you feel it? And it was like, man, I can do this more time. I can let go more things here. There's something that is holding on to me. And I start practicing with him. On and on and on. After 3 months of having classes, I look at my coach and I was like, hey, I have to learn this. This has helped me so much with my mental health, that I have to learn this and I have to tell people all of these things. The people that I'm surrounded selling marble or selling houses or constructing them, man, these people are very much stressed. And I was as stressed as them. How can I do this? So I roll in into the Wim Hof. But at the time, it was very complicated to get in. At the time for you probably was the same. The first advance, it took how long? A year and a half to go to Asing? Much long. So I was like, I can do more things in between. I have the time and I'm loving this. So I started learning XPT performance breathing, which is Lair Hamilton's techniques. It's very cool because with Wim Hof, you get that spiritual mental awareness of your mind and body. But with XPT, you connect the body and the chemistry of the body with the mind and the breathing, and you start knowing more about your body. So I started doing all of these apnea protocols and triangle breathings and experimental breath works. I couldn't believe that I didn't know all of those things. Why do humans don't know all of these things? This is the basis of our foundations of living. If you don't know how to breathe, how am I going to ask you to even sit and meditate? If you don't know how to hold your breath and your energy in your body, how are you going to even start writing your journal? If your energy is all over the place and you're hyperventilating even before you start doing things, how are you going to focus? Inside of XPT, there was these recommendations of books. One of them, it was Oxygen Advantage from Patrick McHugh. Man, what a discovery. Patrick is all about slow breathing. It's like the two spectrums. You have Wim Hof, go hard, fast, do it more. And then you have in the other side, Patrick, that tells you your mouth is for eating and your nose is for breathing. Close your mouth if you are not speaking or eating. And a slow breath. Let's try something. I'll guide you through it so you understand what slow breathing is and how it makes you feel, because I know you have a baby now. And one of the first things that baby will understand what is cold and what is hot. And it's so simple by just saying, okay, Brooke, close your eyes.
Okay. And everybody listening, feel free to join us unless you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're listening to this and you're in a position to go along with our breathing here, go for it. So, all right, my eyes are closed. I'm ready.
Perfect. So now you're going to just take a small breath in through your nose. You can keep your eyes open if you're driving. You just need to feel what comes in and out through your nose and breath out. One more breath in and one breath out. On the next breath, I want you to feel the temperature of the air coming in through your nose and feel the temperature of the air coming out through your nose. Go very slow so you can feel it. See how the air that comes in is a little colder and feels how the one that comes out is a little warmer. This is your gas exchange happening in your lungs. You're bringing a little colder air into your body and your body's warming it up and exhaling out with energy. You can do this to prepare for a meeting, super slow breathing, just feeling the temperature of the air coming in and out. Feel that slight breath in, that coldness in your nostrils, and that warm air coming out through your nostrils. How does that feel, Brooke?
Fantastic. That's really good. I can honestly say I've noticed temperature of breath a little bit before, but I've never had anyone guide me consciously into focusing on the temperature. So that was a cool experience. And what came to me immediately with it, well, I felt very calm, and hopefully everybody that did that with us here as they're listening felt very calm, but it put me in a place of that's all I was focusing on. So as I just finished up there, my first thought was, what a cool technique, because you talk about being able to focus and not be distracted, complete mindfulness just in the moment, that brought me right there. So that was beautiful.
Yeah. So Patrick took me on this journey of slow breathing and just feeling whatever, everything that comes in and comes out through your nose. He has these really cool techniques for athletes to increase what he calls the BOLT score. The BOLT score is basically your tolerance to CO2, and it's measured by the seconds that you can hold your breath on an exhale. You can know how stressed you are by basically taking a breath in, breath out, and then holding your breath. Depending on your ball score, how many seconds you can hold, you can understand how much stress you're holding. For a healthy person, a ball score between 30 to 45 seconds is already a good, healthy ball score. 45 and up, we will be talking about athlete performance seconds. Below 30 seconds, you could start having some sort of breathing dysfunctional pattern, which could be just that you breathe too quick or you breathe too shallow. This can transfer to snoring, sleep apnea, on and on and on and on, because it's just a cascade effect.
So let me just back you up, Javier. So yes. with that test, and how do you what's it called again? The Bolt score?
Bolt score.
B, spell it for me.
B-O-L-T.
B-L-L-T. Okay.
B-O-L-T.
B-O-L-T. All right. It's that sexy Spanish accent of yours today. So the Bolt score. And you were literally just measuring that by taking one, tell me again. So one full breath in and then holding your breath. That's it.
No, what you're going to do, do you have a timer with you that you can use?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's do it. Let's try it.
Let's try it. Let's try it after no sleep with a baby.
Yeah, this is something that in my journey through Oxygen Advantage training, I start doing. And it was every morning when I will woke up, I will write down my ball score and I will know how stressed or how good was my sleep. The night before, just by knowing how many seconds I could hold my breath. So this is what we're doing. We're going to take 3 to 4 breaths in and out through your nose, super slow, not too big, not too small, just normal breaths. Okay. Then I'm going to ask you to take another one big breath, and then you're going to exhale normal, not fully out, and then you're going to hold it. Okay. You're going to hold until you feel the first signal to breathe. The first signal, it's normally that a feeling of swallowing in your throat, mm-hmm. or kind of a small, super, like a heartbeat in your diaphragm.
Okay.
Once you feel that, open your eyes, see how many seconds you have in your timing.
Okay.
Got
fantastic.
It? Okay.
All right.
So start by taking small breath in and a small breath out. Small breath in. Breath out. One more. Breath in. Breath out. And on the next one, we're then going to take a breath in. Breath out. And hold your breath. Start your timer. Super calm. You can close your eyes even to use less energy. And just focus on that first signal alarm that your body sends for you to take that breath. It's a very subtle contraction in your throat, in your diaphragm.
I try not to hold it longer because normally I'll push it a little bit. Like when I do Wim Hof breathing, I'll try to go that extra 10 seconds, but I really tried to consciously just stop when I felt that. So 41 seconds today.
Good.
Could be worse after not sleeping well with the baby.
I guess. Absolutely. That's a very good ball score. This is a good signal that you're a runner. When you run, you create much more CO2 in your body. All of your muscles are popping out and you are putting oxygen and getting the liver. The higher your ball score, the less intense the feeling gets. That breathlessness when you start running and then you start using your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's breathlessness that is being created on the body because accumulation of CO2 and oxygen is not being delivered to the cell. So the more your tolerance to CO2, the better, the more delivery to the cell.
The so more you working,
can go for it.
So, I'm sorry. So if you're working with an athlete, yes. So if I wanted to get a bunch of my running friends together, for example, and say, hey, we're going to all test our Bolt score. In theory, the ones that are in better peak performance shape are going to have a higher Bolt score.
Supposedly.
But it's stress can mess that up to where they might have different things happening in their body.
Yeah. Again, if I go into my journey after Oxygen Advantage, I went into Brian McKenzie over there in Cali, and he goes deep in the metabolic part of breathing. When you are an athlete and you have a good Bolt score, it means that your aerobic capacity, it's been trained. Your nose is being trained for breathing for long periods of time. Okay. Your aerobic capacity uses oxygen. You are not creating stress in the body because you are still using your nose. You are connected to your diaphragm, which is the primary breathing muscle. You are using your respiratory muscles normally. Once you tap into the mouth, you tap into a different type of energy. You go into anaerobic. Mm. And when you go into anaerobic, you are quick energy because you are not using CO2 anymore. You are burning carbs. There is much more speed. So in this phase, you start accumulating lactic acid. Mm. So when you finish workouts and you feel like you are sore the day after, not that muscular soreness, but that painful soreness of lactic acid, you open your mouth too quick or you went too far from what your body can do. So sometimes there's people out there that run a lot, but they run through their mouths. So their bodies are always on pain, always on stress, with inflammation, with chronic things that keep going because they are not allowing their body to actually function the right way.
So if you had a runner come to you and say, hey, I'd like to be able to breathe better, more efficiently, have more energy, have less lactic acid and feel better, how would you recommend they start training? Just more nose breathing primarily, or what would you kind of prescribe?
Primarily nose breathing. If they go running, use your nose. When I start running in the quarantine, I used to tape my mouth literally with a piece of 3M tape. You can buy it in any Walgreens, super soft tape tissue. You put it in your lips and you go out running and you realize that you are not supposed to go as quick as you think you are because there's a moment that you are that quick that your mouth wants to open immediately. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. I cannot keep it on my nose right now. What is happening? And is your diaphragm cannot keep that pace? And if your diaphragm doesn't keep that pace, man, impossible to keep your legs working. So the first exercise that I would recommend to someone that wants to improve is nose only at all times by running. And if you can, and if you feel comfortable with it, count 3 seconds for your inhales and double the exhales.
Okay.
So you will be running and inhaling 3 seconds in fully to decompress your spine, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you will be exhaling 6 seconds out. Now, while running is very, it could be challenging that long exhale because you are accumulating CO2 as you exhale too. Mm-hmm. And then you only have half of the time to inhale. How big can be your inhales? How much volume do you have actually when you breathe in? And this is a big, big issue in people. Deep divers have 6 and 7 liters of capacity on their lungs. We normal humans, quote unquote, breathe barely 2.5 liters when we run. Barely, with every inhale, we breathe 2.5 liters. What if you can be breathing 40 liters with every inhale instead of 2.5. And what if you are breathing, it's a liter and a half more with every inhale. Now I'm going to tell you that you run every minute, you're going to take 50 inhales. In 50 inhales, I'm going to give you 1 liter and a half more for inhale.
Wow.
Those are almost 200 more liters of air that I'm going to give you to run and to recover your body. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's very important. And that's one thing. The second thing is that 2 liters and a half, your lungs are barely expanding on full capacity, which means that your lumbar and probably some sort of thoracic spine is collapsing, is compressed, is getting all of that boom, boom of the running is going to your spine because your lungs and your diaphragm cannot pull you up with the gravity, you know? I discovered this the bad way, and it was by being hurt on my neck, and getting my C5 and C between C5 and C6 pinch. Man, I don't recommend that to anyone. So whenever you start feeling that nerve pain, find a coach, someone that does breathing and does decompression and can tell you, hey, your body should posture in a certain way. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. It's very important once you go and do your practice. And your practice could be running, or it could be Muay Thai. It could be jiu-jitsu. It could be just yoga. But in yoga, you can compress your spine too. Don't be fooled by, I'm doing yoga and everything is going to be amazing. No, man. You can hurt yourself doing yoga too,
sure.
by not understanding. And yeah, for runners, 3 seconds in, 6 seconds out, nose breathing only. Just with that, I'm going to challenge you for 3 months at least of training to start feeling comfortable with it.
Okay. And then ultimately, because I know a lot of runners, including myself, are thinking, well, so do I train all the time with nose breathing and then if I have a race or I really want to go for it on a certain day, can I then switch it up and do mouth breathing on that day? And am I going to, in theory, perform better?
Here's where it comes.
Built up the lung capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So now you go into the performance. Okay, I can build up to 8 miles nose breathing. I feel amazing. But now I want to sprint and I want to get it all out. What do I do? Brian McKenzie, again, has this sort of gear system, like cars.
Okay.
So you have your first gear, which is nose in, nose out, slow in, slow out. Your second gear is nose in, nose out, slow in, quick out. Then you have your third gear, still nose in, nose out, fast, fast. And then you have your fourth, which you start tapping into your mouth. You will fire first breathing through your nose, and then you will exhale through your mouth slow.
Okay.
Your last gear, which is your fifth gear, you will be inhaling nose and mouth. That's your last gear. You want to use both powers of the nose and the mouth because your nose, neurologically speaking, is connected to your diaphragm and your mouth is to your chest. So you will get the full capacity of the expansion of both diaphragm and chest using primary and secondary breathing muscles. And that will be performance. So there's certain athletes, this goes into the zones that you have my heart with your heart rate. Your heart rate increases and you go into different zones. This is correlative with your breathing. The way you're breathing changes your heart rate. So you could be really good in zone 1, 2, but are you really good in the rest of the zones?
Right.
How good is your breathing and your heart rate and how long can you keep that? So yeah, your mouth is gears 4th and 5th. And when you tap on them, you just need to remember that if you want to go back to your nose, it's going to take a small struggle because you are asking your body to switch fuel sources back again. It's like going from gas to diesel, right? You're going from fats, nose, to carbs using your mouth. So that switch of energies for some people could be a struggle. For other people, it's not. Depending on your cardio, breathing, exercise and physical techniques are. Everybody's in a different level.
Well, what is so interesting to me about that is part of me thought you were going to say like, yeah, man, if you really want to go for it, just open your mouth fully and all that nose breathing will have helped you to have a better capacity. But what's interesting to me is you're saying even in gears 4 and 5, you're still breathing in through your nose. Then you're just implementing some of the mouth.
Yeah, it's a boost. It's a boost. You're using the mouth for that amount of time that the nose can do it. You know that feeling that you want to inhale and your nose close? That's because your diaphragm is not being able to pull you down. So it's making emptiness and your nose closes. So it doesn't have the strength. What do? I open up. And then I open my lats, I open my chest so the diaphragm can have more space. Mouth only, you can use it. I mean, it's a super quick, it's fire breath.
Right.
That's, you know, when you finish that, you're going to have to stop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, go, 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 go. Okay, I'm going to recover.
Okay.
Again, people that runs 100 meters, they use their mouth, but they use their nose. Again, if you cannot use your nose at that level of performance, your diaphragm, where is it? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to lift weights and I'm going to start with 50 pounds, but my biceps are never going to have done a bicep curl. I'm going to do my first 50 pounds. And how do I do the second? How do I do the third? And you start compensating and crawling your whole body just to lift more weights because you're sprinting. Same thing happens with your diaphragm. Same thing. And the crazy part is that there's a bunch of studies out there that prove that the moment your diaphragm collapses and is not working as it should, the blood flow to your legs diminish by a 20%.
Wow.
20% less blood to your legs because your diaphragm now cannot keep you breathe. So what is more important, your legs or your whole body oxygenated? Your whole body oxygenated. So blood to the diaphragm.
Right.
To keep sending things to the important areas of the body. This guy has to stop running. And eventually you will stop because then you start having pain or cramps or whatever it is that your body starts sending signals. So very, very important.
So I want to ask you this question, and I feel like I know your answer, but I want you to expound on it. So I think you bring up a very good point. There's all these people walking around that are in pain. And you and I both, we've been in pain too. You know, I woke up last night with a little bit of a sore back from a run last night. You know, my mattress is not my favorite. Baby sleeping on me. You know, I woke up with a back too. My first thought, because now I have learned how to breathe, I'm not quite the master that you are, but my first thought was, I'm going to breathe the pain away. But I think most people out there are walking around thinking, oh, I need to take a pain pill. I need to take some ibuprofen. I need to go to the chiropractor. I need to do this. I need to do that. And breathing seems to be the last thing that they think about doing. Do you feel, so here's my question. Do you feel like people could mitigate most of their problems, physical ailments, stresses, anxieties, depression, through breathing practices?
Yes. I truly believe on it. I will not say to anyone to leave their pills right now, throw them out of the toilet. But as any other thing that you are coping with, go slowly. So if you're coping with alcohol and you drink at night, instead of drinking whatever dosage you're drinking, do one less and do breath work. And then the day after, do one less and do more breath work and see how it feels. Because the only way to change those patterns of pains is to change what you're doing. And as you were saying, I'm breathing my pain out. And you can breathe your pain out. Absolutely. Absolutely. You just need to change your behaviors. And that's something that I go to the spiritual part of my journey. I was in a lot of pain, but you are telling me that waking up and soreness and back and I haven't slept. For you, hey, you're just a week all that. So it's normal. When the next thing happened to me, man, I spent 2 weeks no sleep. No stop of pain radiating through my neck and to my arm and to my fingers. My right hand was numb to the point that I would touch it and could not feel it. And I thought that was the end of my sport life for the rest of my life, man. Like that, just like that. And this was a year ago. This was beginning of 2020. Scared again of the ice. Couldn't get in my ice bath. I would start shaking uncontrollably, like having convulsions inside of the ice. And it was all fear, man. A bunch of fear accumulated on my body. I start doing this training program that it's called Functional Patterns. It changed me a big, big, big time because it made me understood how much the breath is important to decompress your spine and how much your breath is connected to your spine. Man, we are all spine. The rest is just attached to it.
Right.
So if you are out there, like Brooke just said, and you have pain and you are coping with pain in different ways, reach out to whoever you have close that knows some sort of breath work. It doesn't need to be Wim Hof. If it's Wim Hof, amazing. If it's Oxygen Advantage, amazing too. Or XPT, it doesn't matter. Find someone out there, pranayama, yoga. Even go and do some fire breath and burn those emotions and feelings out of yourself. But go and try. Go and try and start the journey of breathing.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And the more you start to dive into the journey of the breath, and I'm sure you've read James Nestor's book, Breathe.
Oh,
I thought that was a fascinating read. And
fascinating.
You know, you read that book and you come away thinking, this is just this giant toolkit of these different modalities and techniques of how to breathe. And if the more of them that you learn, the more empowered you feel. And you start to see life. I don't know. This is how I feel sometimes. You start to see life as like, bring on this challenge because I have a tool for it, motherfucker. You know? So it's like I'm gonna go in this situation. And when everyone is like melting like down in stress and fear, and we have a lot of fear these days based on everything that's been happening, as you well know, it's like you can access this tool of breath. And whatever, I agree with you completely, whatever modality that feels right to you, just do more of that. And then maybe try another one, do more of that. So I want to talk to you about just maybe one or two types for our listeners that they could try right now. That's super easy to implement for stress and anxiety. Just something that can calm them, because we have so many people that are just crippled with stress. And obviously I know the Wim Hof breathing is fantastic for that. I know it's really helped my anxiety. You know, it takes a little bit longer. So what is just like a quick modality that someone could do, even if they have 2-3 minutes in their car, they're waiting to pick up their kids at school when they're stressed? What would you guide them to do just quickly?
All right. Let's do two exercises very quick, very easy that you can do like Brooke said, waiting your kids at school, you're in a traffic light, and you tend to go to your phone instead of going to your phone and getting distracted with the external world. Just go inside. So easy. This is something that will gain you focus and attention to yourself again. You can do it with your eyes open, with your eyes closed. And it will be simply taking a small breath in through your nose, small breath out, just to settle your breath. And then you're going to start inhaling 3 seconds in. So you will start for 3, 2, 1, and then you exhale 3, 2, 1. Now you inhale 4, a little slower, 3, 2, 1, and a little slower, 4, 3, 2, 1, out, and then out. 5 in, 4, 3, 2, 1, and 5 out, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1 again, inhale 3, 2, 1, exhale 3, 2, 1, inhale 4, 3, 2, 1, exhale 4, 3, 2, 1, inhale 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, exhale 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now inhale fully all the way, and we are going to ham it all the way out. As long as you can, feeling the vibration on your throat, on your ribs. When you get to the bottom, you're going to take another breath in, and you're going to ham it all the way out again, feeling the vibration through your body. Feel that vibration surrounding your rib cage and your throat, relaxing your muscles around there. One more time. Take a breath in and ham it one more time. Feeling the vibration, allowing your muscles, your intracostal muscles, to relax with that vibration. Just to finish, take a breath in and a breath out through your nose. So those are two very simple and very powerful exercises.
What would you call that type of breathing we just did?
The first one is balanced breathing. It's just 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. It balances your gases inside of your lungs and outside of your cardiovascular system. It allows for the oxygen and the carbon dioxide, because this is the important part. They need to settle. Once they settle, they can switch and they can bond. So by inhaling slow, 3 in, 3 out, 4 in, 4 out, 5 in, 5 out, you're allowing time for the cells to absorb and release at the same time. And the humming, you that have a baby, it will put your baby asleep in 2 seconds. It's like enchanting them. That vibration creates nitric oxide in your nose 12 times more.
Wow.
Yeah, it's big time. That's one of the keys to open up your blood vessels and feel that warmth. When you do humming, you start feeling that warmth in your chest. And it's like, what is happening? And it's because you are making your intracostal muscles shake super, super slow. Have a practice or an idea for you next time you get in your ice bath. Try humming all the time and see how the vibration gets reflected on the water. And you are like a frog on the water. When the frogs start singing on the water, that you can see the vibration of the frogs.
Oh, that's cool.
Man, it's so cool. So profound.
I will try that. I've done, well, my fondest memory of humming in the cold water is with you and the whole rest of our group in Colorado.
Colorado.
The fucking most coldest lake I've ever been in, for 7.5 minutes in our circle. And we were all humming together, and it was so beautiful, but it works. So beautiful. It works. It warms up those intercostal muscles and it takes your focus off of, oh my God, I'm cold, to like, you're doing it. I just did, I'm not saying this to brag in any means. I rarely test my limits. I usually just hop in the ice bath for 2 to 3 minutes and, you know, enjoy it and get out and go on with my day. A few days ago, I wanted to see if I could just do a 10-minute ice bath.
Yeah.
And I actually was kind of nervous. Like, I didn't know how I was going to really do it, but I did start doing the humming at the end of it.
Nice.
And the time just like passed and my little timer went off and it was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. So I see a lot of value in the humming, from the warming up perspective to the calming. Both of those breathing exercises you just took me through, I felt so relaxed, so relaxed. And hopefully everybody listening did those along with us. And I mean, that's amazing, dude. That's such a good point. It's like, we are so conditioned to just like, oh, I'm stressed, I have a couple of minutes, I'm uncomfortable. We're robots with like needing to just look at our phones and distract ourselves, get a little dopamine hit from social media.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I think what happens, it makes us feel worse. And then people, particularly a lot of women, men too, but a lot of women start to compare themselves to everyone else out there and they feel worse. So then they come back to their day, their kids are walking out from school and they're more stressed. So that's such a beautiful illustration, man, of like, hey, you've got 2 minutes. Why don't you just do that breathing exercise?
Yeah.
You don't need that dopamine hit. Why don't you come into your body? So thank you for that, bro. That was beautiful. I hope everybody can try that.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it to share it here with you. Some of the things that I learned through this journey is that the breath is in all of us. It's not mine to teach it or to make it mine. I'm the medicine by becoming the medicine. What I know, guys, I'm here to share it with you because this is beautiful and it's accessible every single moment of your life. No matter the situation, how hard or how happy it is, you can always tap into your breath.
Yeah.
It's yours. No one can take it.
Yeah.
But when you don't tap on it, who is breathing for you? Why are you breathing the way you are breathing? And who is deciding how you are breathing?
Right. Right.
Man, that baby of yours, my son, when they came to this world, like you and I, we took a breath.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow. You know how your baby took this first breath, how calm or how stressed could have been that experience. So if that breath comes in a natural and very warm and loving way, imagine the feeling in the baby. How secure can that person be? This is the same with your life, guys out there. Take a breath in and breath out if you feel insecure. It's just in your mind. You need all you have. You need nothing and you have everything.
Yeah.
Because it's all inside of you. Everything that your mind is telling you is projected because of the external wall. Go inside and see how you feel.
Yeah.
Take a few minutes to just see how you feel and tell yourself that you are able, that you are capable.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Breathing will help you to connect to this, to connect to your inner power.
Yeah,
it's very, very powerful.
It absolutely does. I want to get your thoughts on this just before we close here. And then I have just two more questions for you. But
yeah, go for it.
One thing that I think about so often with utilizing the power of the breath is tapping into our highest level of consciousness, tapping into our highest level of creativity and accessing those parts of us for problem solving. And I'm sure you've, because you're an entrepreneur just like me. And, you know, there's times where you've got to think, you've got to be creative.
Yes.
And I've found in my journey with the breath over the last, I guess, just over a year, maybe year and a half, that I can tap into creativity at such a higher level than I ever did before. Like sometimes I'll come out of a breathing session and I'll just have idea after idea, insight after insight. So Now with all of the men that I coach one-on-one, when we do a session, we start with breath work. And I think at first, like a lot of the guys that I coach, they're like, well, what the hell are we doing? Like, can we just get into the nuts and bolts? Like, hey, I want to talk about my business and the stresses in my marriage. And like, I will just get them. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, lay down wherever you are. We're doing this together. And we breathe for 15, 20 minutes. And they come out. And one of the gentlemen that I coach, he's like 3-4 businesses. He's in the entertainment business down in Hollywood. Like, he's a brilliant guy. And he comes out of the breath work and he's like, everything's okay. And he's okay. Able to now tackle all these problems. And he's like, maybe they're not even as big a problems as I thought. Here's what I think I need to do. And he just talks it through. And so now every session that I do with every guy that I coach, it's like, we're going to breathe. We're going to breathe, because if not, we're not going to tap into that highest level of consciousness and problem solving, in my opinion. So speak to me a little bit about that. What have you found with being able to access your creativity and problem solving as someone that has to do that?
Well, in my personal experience, I will have to say that, like you, this has brought a new set of tools for me to tap when I need it. What before will be a stressing period of time to create a solution or to find ideas to a new project, now it has become a game. I feel like I'm a 5-year-old playing with my toy. Well, my toy, what is my toy? My toy is my company now.
Yeah.
I'm just 32. I'm an all 5-year-old. 3 + 2 = 5. So I need to play with these toys of 32. And these toys of 32 require for me to not fear them. And breathing has given me a lot of it, a lot of tools to tap into this creativity, problem solving, focus, and paying attention when I need. Because before, I will spend hours, I will spend weeks, I will spend months working, grinding, looking for solutions, more. Now I wake up, I breathe, I get in the eye, I go for a walk. This solves that way, but that's not what I need to solve. And then I go on train, and then I figure it out. Well, the thing that solves all of those other issues is this thing. So I need to tackle that thing. So sometimes it's not those small little things that bother you all the time. Is that one thing that you are being avoiding all of the time that are going to solve all of those 20 things that you've been postponing because of that one thing?
Right.
So do that one thing that is so challenging and that your mind doesn't want to allow you to do because it's very, very, very stressful and anxiety, and take it as, this is part of my game. Let's just face it. This is a new level. Let's get this metal coin by doing and achieving this task. And the ice helps a lot with that because it challenges you so much, your body and your mind, that when you get out there, you've already done the hardest thing you're going to do. So go out there and do the rest.
Yeah. So it's in the breathing that gives us the ability to tackle that, which is so amazing, I think. And like you said, it becomes a game. You breathe through it, you breathe through these problems, and then you are able to tackle them at a different level.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, Javier, as we wrap up, what is your mission with teaching people about the breath?
Brooke?
I lost you for about five seconds.
My mission about breathing, right?
Yes, your mission about breathing and what you hope to teach the world.
Well, I hope I help, maybe not the world, but a few very beautiful souls that right now are in a lot of stress because their minds are not allowing them to be happy and fulfilled and have unconditional love to themselves. And this is the thing that I've, in my journey, I've been realizing is that I forgot to love myself. Sometimes we want to serve and please, and we forget about what it really matters inside of us, all of that love, all of that 5-year-old that wants to be playful and childish and just have fun sometimes. And breathing has helped me to achieve that again. It might look like a very, very big mountain to step and go through, but that's why people like Brooke and I and Breath Tribe is out there too, to just allow you to, in a few steps, climb in a safe environment and in a safe way that mountain that feels like you're never gonna climb. The Himalayas is accessible for you. You just need to believe.
Yeah. And so for those that are in Florida, that are in your area, tell us just a little bit about Breath Tribe. And whether you're in Miami or not, it's just such a cool concept of what you do with Breath Tribe. So in just maybe a minute or so, tell us real quick about Breath Tribe and how that works.
Well, Breath Tribe started last year during the quarantine as a platform for Alejandra and myself to start putting together small pieces to find a way to connect all of the puzzle of these breath, different breath works and mindsets and mental health games, toys, and tools to help yourself. We are located in Miami, in an area called Miami Shores. And we have only one group class a week, but it's as much as the community needs, because what we're trying to put out there is a training program or private coaching for people to then work on themselves at home, to then come and put it together with a group of bunch of humans, share their energy, and then again go back home and work on yourself. What I teach you is not just to keep saying to you what you have to do. It's just for you to go home and practice and have the ability to change the patterns that are not fulfilling your life.
Right.
You go out there and you are one of those persons that get really, really stressed in the traffic and start screaming at the guy that breaks in front of you and loses your shit. Hey, how are you breathing? Right. When you are doing that, how are you breathing? Why are you reacting the way you're reacting? Why are you not feeling safe inside of your own car, inside of your own body, with the windows closed, with air conditioning? How can you not? So this is what we do. We give tools to people to alleviate those symptoms of stress and anxiety. There's a different way to approach things. And it's just one step away. You just need to choose and commit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, there's so many things in life that they're not actually that difficult to do, but it's just getting yourself to do it. And like, it's so hard for me because like, just like you, I know how powerful the breath can be. I know how much it can change someone's life. And then you can teach it to them. And then you're like, hey, how's the breathing been going? They're like, oh, I haven't done anything. And you're like, I get so upset because I'm like, I shouldn't get upset. I need to breathe myself in that moment. But like, I just am like, it's so damn simple. Just breathe. Just like consciously breathe. Just do it. Like your life will feel better. But we have to establish those patterns. So I think, if people can even start small to where it's not this daunting thing.
Yeah.
Start with the 2-minute exercise that we just did on this podcast, like start there and then let it go from there.
Yeah.
And your life will change.
Pattern interrupting. Your whole mind is conditioned since you are little with all of the programming of TV, radio, cinema, newspaper, you you name it, it's all program. What are really your thoughts? Have you sit down? Have you heard your thoughts? And have you choose which ones serve what your values and your goals in life are? And when you do, can you actually change and pattern interrupt what is happening? And this is so crazy. People freaked out. The first thing I tell my clients in coaching is, at least the male figure in the coaching is, hey guys, when you are horny, what do you do? What? Yeah. When you're horny, you wake up in the morning and you have a boner. What happened? Well, if my girlfriend wants to have sex, then I have sex. Wait a sec. If your girlfriend wants to have sex, what does that mean? What is a boner? Well, I don't know. I'm just boner. No, man. A boner means energy that you have right now available to do what you want. Do you want to have sex? Or do you want to use that energy, breathe it out, move it through your body, because right now it's stuck in between your legs, and use that to the meeting that you have today instead of forcing your girlfriend to have sex in a moment that she might not want to have a quick 5-minute release for you to feel better because you are coping with something.
Right.
Find ways to pattern interrupt yourself and use the breath to move the energy. When those thoughts arise, hey, move them, breathe them out. Breathe them out. However way you think you could breathe them out, breathe them out. And it will work. You'll feel different, not the same. Don't expect that it's going to fulfill you or make you happy. You're going to feel different. That's all. The feeling that you have before, which it was unfulfillment, is not going to happen. But you don't know how you're going to feel now. This is new. So just go there and experience.
Yeah, well said. That's so good, man. Channeling that energy through the breath. Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's such a good example. Such a good example, too. We get to choose how we want to channel that energy. It's beautiful.
It's your life force. It's your chi. It's your pranayama, your prana. And if you want to put a more logical and Western mind, hey, if you don't breathe, you'll die. So probably has something to do with your breath.
Yeah, it's true. 100%. 100%.
Something is happening out there.
Yeah. You got to breathe to stay alive, literally and figuratively. Beautiful. Yeah. Well, Javier, what is the best place for people to connect with you online? Say hi or to follow your journey and what you're doing?
Well, you can connect with me through Instagram. My Instagram is J Gutierrez Mar. It's a little complicated, but probably Brooke Leaf will leave a note.
We'll have a link.
And the other way of contacting me through is going to the other Instagram, which is Breath Tribe. And then you will find all the information about our workshop, classes. We're planning on having a winter expedition this 2021. We have locked and prepared last week the location in Colorado.
Cool.
So we're planning to do the first Breath Tribe expedition. So guys, thank you. Thank you, Brooke, for holding space for me to share my journey.
Hey, man, you're just getting started too. And thank you, man, for honoring us with your time. And thank you so much. I'm looking forward to implementing a lot more and getting into your neck of the woods at some point and dropping in for a class. It'd be fun, man. Yeah. So
I would love to have you. I will see you soon on the Walkman group.
Sounds great, man. All right. Well, everyone listening, make sure you follow Javier. I'll have links in the show notes. And just a great reminder today, go out and breathe. Use that as your life force, as your power. And until then, we'll see you all on the next episode.
Just wanted to wrap up with you guys before you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did. You know, Javi is so passionate, and you can tell when he starts to talk anything regarding the breath, he just lights up because he truly believes it's the remote control to our bodies. And if you can learn how to access that remote control and you can learn these different ways in which to breathe, you really can change and you can control the outcomes of your life without having to turn to substances, pills, pharmaceuticals, alcohol, cannabis, whatever. You can do it all with the breath. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family. This is powerful information. Who do you know right now that needs to have less stress and anxiety in your life? Probably everybody. So you should share this episode with everybody. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the show if you haven't already so you can get each week's episode. And we will see you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening.